record over here. And we're recording now. This is live Thirst World Problems on the new mixer. We got my man B.
This buddy crispy, Nick. Crispy audio. This is amazing. Look at this display I'm looking at. What am I looking at right now? This is
next level.
Hold on. Let's reverse this. Hold on. Let's reverse this. Look at this display right here. What is this display? What am I looking at? Explain that for a second there.
Me?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, I've never, like, say we've been recording. I just look at just pitch black. Like, there's nothing I'm looking at, right? So now that we're recording, my eyes are just going to this mixer, just showing how my levels are going, if I'm yelling or if I'm too quiet. It's just seems like we've made it.
Looks like.
So we got a new mixer, state of the art. We got sound bites. Everything's Bluetooth, all in one.
Plastic's still on there,
just in case we need to return it.
So true. This might be a little bit too much machine for
us. How colored we are. We're always prepared to return shit. We'll never have the box. We'll never have anything or the receipt, but we'll have... We'll settle
for store credit. Yeah. Let's put it up.
We're willing to carry that over with the power cord and settle for that in-store credit, man. That's pretty much it.
I think this was scratched. I need to return it.
Yep. That's pretty much it.
Boom. All right, let's go get it.
Welcome to the Thirst World Problems Podcast, where we talk about drinks, current events, music, and more. Now, here's your host, Nick Dugal, and his panel of experts, B, Bell, and the infamous Doc.
This week's drink is called the Pineapple Coconut Splash. So what we did for this drink is we got two shots of vodka, added 4 parts of coconut water, and 1 part a ginger pineapple syrup that we had here. And it was absolutely and is absolutely delicious. I'll drink to that. Welcome to Thirst World Problems. Today we got a very special guest with us.
Very special.
Very special. How special, B?
Very doesn't do it much justice.
This I'm actually very excited for this. Incredibly. I'm very excited for this episode here. So let's get it.
So who are we talking to today?
You tell me who we're talking to.
Enrique. I'm volontaire. Did I catch that right?
Enrique Voltaire.
Enrique Voltaire. Perfect.
I knew you were gonna botch that.
Yeah, he's not good with names.
I put a little French on the end.
He's not good with names nor English. So we're trying to teach him here. But thank you for coming on the podcast here. Now we're kind of talking before the whole this interview starting. You're a big Knicks fan. How do you feel the state of the Knicks this season and this upcoming free agency before we start talking about this?
What's the actual thought? Because we haven't mentioned it yet, but he's from Queens, New York. So what do people think there? Like Nick asked, what do you guys think in terms of free agency? Like, do people actually think these superstars are coming there, or what's the situation?
No, we've been disappointed in the past. I mean, we were supposed to get LeBron, but we got Amari Stoudemire, and it's just we've never got the big free agent as long as I can remember. And I think Knicks fans, I was talking to many Knicks fans. This free agent season, we're thinking one of two things is going to happen. We're going to get a high draft pick, and we're going to go with the youth. And if we don't get like someone like Durant or Kawhi Leonard, I'm not even looking at Kyrie Irving. A lot of people are excited about him. I'm not too high on Kyrie, but
I agree.
If we don't get Durant or Kawhi Leonard, I think the smart thing to do is just save your money. Don't get any big contracts with Jimmy Butler and who's the Hornets point guard?
Kemba Walker.
Refresh my memory. Yeah, I'm not too high on Kemba Walker or Jimmy Butler, those second tier free agents. And I think Knicks fans are gonna be fine with that. If we don't get Durant and we don't get Kawhi, just build through the draft and save your money, and maybe someone will come and save us. And worst case scenario, hopefully we turn into Philadelphia 76ers and 3 years with Mitchell Robinson and Kevin Knox and whoever else we pick up in the draft.
Why are you against Kyrie?
Kyrie, it's just that his whole history that he was injured in Duke and then he comes to Cleveland and he was injured. And, you know, the 1 year he was really healthy, they won the title. And then just the history of injury, and he goes to Boston. He was injured throughout the playoffs and he's had some problems this year. So we've had our problems with Amari and Carmelo and Porzingis. And I don't feel like Knicks fans want to give a max contract to a guy who's going to be injured all the time. I think we've had enough of people who are, you know, get paid for being on the bench.
Very true. He's literally ruining my fantasy this year. So,
well, I don't think Kyrie is a guy that you could depend on to be a superstar number one guy.
I can't believe you guys are saying this. You guys are ridiculous.
We call him Stephon Marbury 2.0. Basically, that's our impression of him.
That's actually.
I like that. That's why.
So let's talk about your book here. Let's go with it. What is the book title called, and where can actually people read this book and or get it?
Well, the book title is called How to Attract Women If You're Not That Attractive.
Oh,
and
so
it's on Amazon.
This guy wrote this book just for you, B.
Me?
Have you seen it? He's not the only one. I mean, it's my bio, so.
I was going to call it
How to Attract Women. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
You saved Bell right there. I was about to end him with an insult, but you you continued your thoughts. Well, I'll leave it at that so we don't embarrass him too much on the air, right?
We do need him for editing, so let's not do that.
No, he does a good job.
So where can you get this book, actually?
It's on Amazon. I put it on Amazon. And I guess Barnes & Noble picked it up because when I Google it, it's on Barnes & Noble's. But I think the best place to put it to get it is just on Amazon. Yeah, Prime, you get it in 2 days.
So what does that mean that they picked it up? Like, do they not – like, I don't know how it works if you write a book or whatever, but don't they ask you to be like, hey, we're going to sell your book at this place? Or like, what do you mean they picked it up? I don't
know. No. You know what? It's very easy to publish a book these days. That's why I was able to publish a book. And that so for my full-time job, I teach high school English. And I always told myself, I'm going to write a book one day. I'm going to write a dating book on how to talk to girls if you're ugly. And, you know, I had this thought. And then I saw a former student who was like 5 years after graduation. He put on LinkedIn, he published a book. And I was like, what? This kid published a book and I didn't publish a book. So his name is Kevin Onglade, and he's a great kid. And I hooked up with him on Facebook, and I had lunch with him. I was like, so how do you publish a book? And he said, it's very easy. You just go to createspace.com and you upload it, and they sell it on Amazon. So I went on createspace.com, and you know, after like 2 years of writing the book and editing it, and I just uploaded it, and that's pretty much it. And I got a cover, I got a book, and they check it to make sure it meets qualifications. It's not like just trashy and just riddle grammatical errors, and if it passed certain tests like the format and the editing is decent, they just throw it on Amazon. And yeah, that's how a lot of books are published these days. It's called self-publishing, and anybody can do it.
That must be a great space to actually sell your book on Amazon. So it would be pretty hard for an ugly person to have to actually take that up to the counter and be like, can I buy this book?
Yes, remember, it's not ugly, it's not that attractive. So
Yes.
Basically, what he's saying, Bell, is he's trying to give you hope. That's what he's trying to say here. So you said, how long did it say to take you to write this book?
It was probably from the time that it was a seed in my brain to the time I actually published it, it was probably 2 years.
2 years, wow, very nice. Now, can you give us some tips and advice for some unattractive people around the world that listen to this podcast?
Okay. Yes. Since I was very unattractive and probably still am, I'm going to go over just a few rules. Let me get 5 of 10. Number one, don't commit to a girl who's not your girlfriend. And this is the mistake a lot of guys have, that they're probably at work. They see a girl and they say, she's the one. And they don't talk to anybody else because they hope that one day that girl will turn around and see that they're the one And 3 months later, they get up the courage to talk to her, and she's like, you know, sorry, you're not the one. And so it's like they wasted 3 months of their lives just thinking about her and planning. It's to get a girl, sometimes you just got to be a jerk. You know, you look at her, you talk to her, you know, you're polite. A lot of guys ask me on Quora, how do you talk to a girl? And I say, it just comes down to two things. You compliment her and you ask her a question. You know, nice shoes, where'd you get them? Where do you like to shop at the mall? Oh, really? What mall do you like to shop at? And then you just keep asking them questions, open-ended questions that start with a W or how that can't be answered with a straight yes or no. And the more she talks, the more she starts feeling is that she's important. And yeah, if it works out, maybe you get a number, maybe you wait. But a lot of guys aren't like that. And some girls are going to start thinking, you know, I like this guy. He's different. I don't know what it is, but, you know, I just feel like I'm a person in front of him. Little does she know that you're asking her open-ended questions because you're, you know, planning to date her in the future. But that's one thing. Just don't put all your eggs in one girl. Talk to many girls. And, hey, if that original girl rejects you, if you talk to other girls, she might start thinking, hey, you know what? Maybe I lost my chance with this guy because all the other girls seem to enjoy his company. You know, what's wrong with me? So that's rule number one. Just don't commit to a girl if she's not your girlfriend. Talk to many girls.
Supply and demand. Supply and demand. Make it look like you're in
high
demand.
Why do you got to say that? don't do that, man. Don't do that.
That's fantastic, though. But, like, so I heard you kind of said don't put all your eggs in one basket. Is that regarding like being with multiple people, or is that just regarding don't put all your effort into one girl?
It's basically don't put all your effort into one girl unless she becomes your girlfriend wife.
We're not trying to be like Tristan Thompson here. Is that what you're trying to say?
No.
Oh, okay.
Definitely not. You don't want to be Tristan.
Different girl in every borough, man. Different girl in every borough.
Is that a true thing?
Could happen.
Hold on. Is that a true statement? Different girl, a different girl in every borough?
Oh. Depends on no.
Okay. Do you have any really, not horror, but like just some really funny dating stories that you have?
Oh, yes. I have one dating story. Okay, so I was an AOL player back in the day. If your listeners are are too young to remember AOL, before we had Facebook, we had chat rooms where you only see screen names and you would hit them up with, you know, age, sex, location. And I got my numbers figured out one day. I said, all right, so if I message like 100 girls, maybe 10 will have a conversation. If 10 have a conversation, maybe 5 will give me a pick. And if 5 give me a pick and I like the pick, maybe I can actually get on the phone with 2 of them. And of those 2, maybe I can talk to 1. So I just hit up as many girls as I could around America. So
don't put all your eggs in one basket.
You know, I talked to girls in Chicago and Philadelphia and California, and I just said, you know, maybe if I went to visit, if I had a date, I had a date. If I didn't, at least I can say I saw the city. So one of my first dates, it was after Valentine's Day.
That's the best time to do it.
Yeah, but I think I chatted this girl up on Valentine's Day because I figured everybody's lonely. So I spoke to one girl, and on a few days after Valentine's Day, this was my first date. I didn't date in high school or college, but anyway, I'm like 23 years old. I drive down to Philadelphia to talk to this girl, and I meet her, and she was cute, and we hung out, and I went to the Liberty Science Museum because that was the number one attraction on TripAdvisor, and
that's awesome.
Yeah, and I took her to a good restaurant because, you know, she was like a college girl, and I was I had my career ready, so I had a salary, so I could take the girl to a nice restaurant. And after taking her to a nice restaurant, I took her back to my hotel. So I'm like, oh my God, I have a girl in my hotel. And, you know, she says, you know, what's on TV? And she starts saying, and she's like, oh, well, it's this. I wonder what it's like to watch porn. And I'm like, all right, you know, I'll pay the $5 for it and something. And, you know, there's two queen beds and I'm sitting on one, she's sitting on the other. And we're just watching the videos together. And she's saying, doesn't that make you want to have sex? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm just watching the TV.
Really
and then after a full 30 minutes, you know, the episode's over. And then I'm like kind of awkward. And I just jump over to the next bed and like put my arm around. Like, hey, how you doing? And I think she just feels some kind of way, or the feeling is gone, or the alcohol is wearing off. Or and she just gives me a line. She says, you know what? I think I've had already just too much sex in my life at this age. And she was like 21 years old. And I'm like, oh, what a time to stop. I'm like,
how about tomorrow you can find Jesus?
Do you remember the video?
No. Oh. I think there was an Asian in it.
Quick question. What is like, you said you took her to a nice restaurant. What's the balance of a good restaurant to a bad restaurant? Like, what's a few places that you wouldn't mm-hmm. take and a few places that you're mm-hmm. kind of like, I'm kind of going overboard with this dinner?
Well, as you guessed, I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to everything. So when it comes to like choosing a restaurant, I would go on TripAdvisor and Yelp, and then I just filter it down. I look for a restaurant that has great, you know, high stars, 4 or 5 stars, but they're in the, you know, budget to mid range. So they got the $2 signs and they got 5 stars. You know, you take a girl to a place like that and they've never been there before, they're pretty impressed. They're like, wow, this guy knows all the good restaurants, because, you know, you're different. You're not an Applebee's and movies kind of guy. You're showing her new experiences. And just a little something like that, just putting a little thought into it. That's what you have to do if you're not a male model.
This is a pretty solid strategy that you've got things laid out. Like, you even mentioned the Yelp, like 2 stars in the budget range. Like, wow.
Okay, so what's rule number two?
Hold on. I got one more
question. No, I need rule number two.
Ask one more question. I'm just dying to know this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is there, when you go on a date with a girl, do you ever just be like, hey, this is my budget on her? This is a $70 dinner, or this is a $40
dinner. Do I tell her that? Or do
No, just in your minds, like in a mindset.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know. I have an idea of how much I'm going to spend.
What's the lowest dinner you've, like, what's the lowest budget you just thought?
Lowest budget? Let me see. Let's see. You take her to a museum's free around here, so.
Yeah. And you look like a smarty.
Yeah. So I guess if you're going to just take her on a budget date in New York City, you know, Shake Shack, you can get a decent dinner there for $15 with alcohol. So that's $30, say $35, plus the movie. That's not the movie, the museum. Movies are bad because you just spend 2 or 3 hours staring at the screen. You want to talk to each other. So between the free museum and Shake Shack, yeah, and drinks afterward, if there has to be, not including the hotel, you can go on a fine date for under $50 in New York City if you know where to go.
Okay, everyone says that they've got their limit, you know, okay, at this point, I'm going to cut her off. But every time I talk to one of my dudes, they're always like, yeah, but, you know, you keep pressing it. Have you actually got to your budget limit, like, say, $50, and then like, nope, I'm going to just cut all ties, cut and bail on
no
that?
No dessert, nothing.
Just time to go
see
the girl?
No. I didn't date high-class girls back then, so none of the girls requested anything fancy. I mean, I don't think I've ever, besides my wife, who's worth all the money in the world, I don't think I've ordered wine with anybody in my life. I mean, the thought of spending $40 on a bottle of wine just appalls me.
Because wine takes too long.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
You just got to go shots.
You just got to go straight to those tequila shots and get that promo on Applebee's. That's pretty much it.
Mm, yeah, 2 for 1.
2 for 1, right? So what's mm-hmm. number two here? What do we got?
Yeah, I want to know number two.
Oh, don't be intimidated by women. That's rule number two. Basically, a lot of times you see a girl and you want to talk to her like, oh, no, you know, she's too good for me. And, you know, just tell yourself, nobody's too good for you. I mean, I tell guys all the time, look, if you went to college and you graduate college and you have a career, and then I don't care if they're the most beautiful college student and who's going to be a doctor. They're not a doctor yet. They're just a college student. So, yeah, make a move. I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to get rejected and you're going to move on and you're going to talk to another girl anyway. So never feel like anybody, not just women, but anybody is more of a person than you are. If you're not a great person now, maybe you'll be a great person in the future. Like Will Smith says, it doesn't matter where you are, it's where you're going. And if you think highly of yourself, yeah, make a move on anybody. Make a move on Michelle Obama if she was single. Do your thing.
This guy's got a type here. He likes Michelle, eh?
That's a high confidence when you can be like, you know what? I'm going to make sure I'm going to get her single, man, so I can have her. That's high confidence right there. What's like? How does someone get to that confidence though? Like, how do you? I know it's easier being said than done, but how do you get to that stage though?
Well, education is a big part of it. I'm not just talking about school education and college, but self education. Well, one of the reasons I wrote the book is that I was very bad with women, and then I asked myself, you know, how can I get a date? I'm like 23 years old and never dated. What am I going to do? And then the next question was, what am I good at? And the answer was school. And I'm like, why am I good at school? Well, all I do is read books and pass tests. So, you know, the idea clicked in. Why don't I just read all the dating books that I can find and just follow the directions? And I read a lot of dating books and I followed directions and I met my beautiful wife, and it's just the two of us. I'm like, shit, I need more money. And so I'm like, let me start a business on something. But I didn't know how. So I would go to Barnes & Noble and just read as many books as I can on advertising and marketing and sales and psychology. And that built me up. I would get my degrees. I have like two masters, and I'm a decent person at my work. But in terms of just getting educated and getting information and getting smarter and feeling more like a person, I felt more and more confident. And I think that's what it all came down to, just, you know, trying to be the best version of yourself. And if you're the best version of yourself, then, you know, who's better than you?
So what does your wife think about the book? Does she ever ask any questions or anything, or is there anything that you don't tell her? Or how did you tell her about the book, or did she always know?
That's good
question. She's wonderful, and she's very supportive. And I said, honey, I want to write a book. I want to write a book of how to talk to girls if you're ugly. Because, you know, when I talked to you, I was ugly. And she just, you know, without batting a lash, she just turned away and said, do what makes you happy. I said, all right, great. And there was one time I was trying to skimp on hiring an editor. I said, here, honey, read this. Just tell me if I have anything spelled wrong. And I think she got through a chapter. She was like, it's fine. And thankfully she never read the whole book, but maybe she doesn't need to, but that's the main thing. She's supportive, and I'm grateful for her. I'm grateful for that.
So is there something in the book, like you said, hopefully she didn't read the whole book. Is there something in the book that it's not too much, wouldn't get you in too much trouble, but you're like, maybe she shouldn't read this part. What chapter should she avoid?
Yeah, chapter 9, rule number 9. My editor said you might want to leave it out and it might get me in trouble with whatever. Gain wisdom and experience. And I got this from one of the books that was called How to Succeed a Woman. If you're, say, you don't know how to deal with women and you've never dealt with women and you've never dated a woman, say you're 25-year-old virgin, you've never seen boobies, go to the strip club. Just go to the strip club. Look at some naked women. Get the private dance. And while you're getting the private dance, don't just, like, enjoy it. Use it as an educational experience. You know, talk to the girl. Say,
I never thought
look,
that
you know, way. Yeah, talk to the girl and say,
hands-on
look,
research.
If I was in a, yeah, exactly. If I was in a mall and you just met me, would you date a guy like me? And you can tell her, be honest. I mean, she has nothing to lose, and she already got paid for the lap dance. And a lot of these girls, they'll be remarkably honest with you. I got to tell you, one quick story. I was at a bachelor party, right? So this was legal. So I'm at the club, and I want to treat myself to a private dance, and I did. And while the girls are performing her little number, I asked many girls at the club. I said, "So have you read any books lately?" And she said, while she's dancing, she said, "Yes, I've read A Brief History of Time by Stephen Hawking and Elon Musk's biography." I'm like, what the hell? Like, why are you? I'm like, why? And you know, she's in her dance. I'm like, why are you reading? And she said she's reading The Alchemist. So I'm like, why are you reading Brief History of Time? She's like, well, Stephen Hawking's one of the smartest guys of all time. So, and he reached this book. Why wouldn't I want to write that? Why wouldn't I want to read that book? And Elon Musk's a millionaire, so that's of interest. And I said, you know, I know the book Alchemist really well. I've created a test on that. So, you know, song ends. Of course, I got to pay for another dance. And I give her a quiz on The Alchemist. I'm like, you know, so who's the protagonist in The Alchemist? And she's like, Santiago. I'm like, wow, this girl really reads her books and she knows her stuff. And so, yeah, just get comfortable being with women, even if you have to pay for them at the, just to have like a private dance. But don't just take in the dance and the feeling. Actually, get used to talking to women, because when you talk to them, you'll see that they're human just like you. A lot of guys, they put girls on a pedestal and they say, wow, you know, I can't talk to her. Look at her. Look at me. But when it comes down to it, we're all human. We all have flaws. And, you know, a lot, you can take the most beautiful woman in the world. Take Kendall Jenner. She's probably, I'm sure she has issues, and everybody has issues these days. And once you realize that, you'll see that you can talk to anybody. You're not inferior to anybody.
Well, Kendall Jenner definitely has mommy daddy issues. I'm sure that's what I think is going on with her.
I'm sure.
Now, what about the, sorry to get back to the scientist stripper here. Was she, did she ever tell you why or what she planned to do with some of this knowledge that she was gaining? Like, was she studying to be a rocket scientist, or?
Tell the truth, I don't remember. I don't remember. I think the next time in there, I got a dance, and I said, "So, what book are you reading now?" And she said, "Some other book." But there was a time that when she was dancing on me, I was thinking, "Wait, I don't think this girl really likes me. I think she's just using me for my money." and that was like one of the last times I spoke to my favorite dancer, and I saved myself a lot of money from then on.
They're probably the greatest hustlers of all time. I'm telling you, strippers. They know how to get into that mind and into those pockets.
Oh, they do. They're world class salespeople.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just the. Anyway, I was not going to mention what I'm saying. I was going to ask just about some advice that you had on your website, where it says to flirt with every woman that you encounter. So obviously, some guys, you know, people are different in terms of the way they think. So, isn't it bad to be known as the guy that flirts with every girl if you have like a certain motive, like say you want a girlfriend or long term something? Or obviously, there's people want different things, right? But doesn't that make you out to be something that might not be the best to be known as?
You know, it could be, but one of the books I read, The Fine Art of Flirting, when it comes down to it, flirting, it doesn't have to be sexual. Flirting is very simple. It's just talking to people and making them feel good about themselves. So what's wrong with talking to everybody and making them feel good about themselves? I mean, you could do it with a guy, you can do it with a woman. Just be that guy who's open and you're always talking to people. And say you're at the office and you talk with Maria and, you know, you have great conversations and, you know, you use the welcome compliments and, you know, you happen to ask her out and she says no. You know, no problem. You took your shot. She said no. So you talk to Vanessa and do your own thing. And Vanessa says no, you know, talk to Stacy. And if Stacy says yes and you hang out with Stacy and Stacy's happy for a week, you know, Maria and Vanessa start looking at you and start thinking, you know what, maybe I should have given him a chance. But Stacy looks happy, and you know, when Stacy has her issues and you break up, maybe Maria or Vanessa give you a chance, or somebody, another girl at the office gives you a chance. But you're not seen as a sleazeball who who's desperate and talks to every girl. You're seen as a guy who's very upfront. You know how to carry on a conversation. You know how to listen. You know how to, you know how to show a girl a good time. And, you know, if they say no, a lot of times they feel like it's their loss. And, yeah, you'll see it be seen as Mr. Friendly instead of Mr. Whore.
So
I'm not
you're
a fan of that Maria Gomez. Go ahead.
Anyway, so you basically you're not look you want to look at flirting in terms of not trying to sleep with every person you see or whatever, but you're more so saying to that there's certain times you could set the stage or, you know, say something here and there so that's, you know, someone might think about it later, or you're basically just saying to be confident when talking to all girls is what you're saying.
Plant the seed without actually planting the seed.
You have to show your intentions right away, because if you don't show intentions, you get in the friend zone. And that's the story of my high school and college life, that you're always in the friend zone. That in a lot of movies, you're that guy sitting next to that girl hoping that one day she'll turn around and, you know, look at you in a romantic way. And a lot of times what happens is that you spend 3 months doing that and she talks to you about the guy she just met and how she wants to date him and sleep with him. And you're like, man, I've been here for 3 months, you know, wanting to do that. Why are you talking about him? So, you know, show your intentions right away. And it's not really the intentions to better. It's just the intentions to take her out. Something as simple as, you know, what are you doing after this? You want to go grab something to eat? That's that was a great move. You know, you need a ride home and, you know, let it go from there. You don't have to you're not always saying, I want to sleep with you right away. But, you know, you go from you go slowly. You get subtle hints of what she wants.
What about being mean, going to that route? Would that work? Have you ever tried just being mean?
No, I would never do that. You know, we're all they're humans too, so you don't want to be
saying
mean.
Like, oh, you look like dirt or something.
That's Nick's. That's his MO right there. That's what he does. He's trying to clear his name.
It's not being mean. It's just, you know, it's kind of like you call them out, but it's like a tease kind of way, right?
No, I have a feeling I know what you mean. Say a girl just wants to be friends.
Yeah.
And you don't have time for that. And she, you know, she says, she texts you, hey, how's it going? And you know, let her know what you're doing. And then she starts rambling about a problem she has. You know, there's no need staring at the phone, replying to her. I mean, you're not going anywhere anyway. So,
sometimes then you just got to tell the truth. Like, you know what? I realized you got a gut. It's all good. And you just gotta
cut
that
or don't even respond. I mean, you don't have to respond. Leave her hanging. And
oh, okay.
That'll make her respond you more.
I never thought about that.
Ghoster?
Ghoster. I thought you just say something kind of that she needs to work on, and then you just kind of end it right there.
Ghosting might be even meaner, though.
Would ghosting be meaning?
Like, you don't even have the time of day to respond.
My man, have you ever ghosted a girl before?
Only when she went to a stupid Screamo concert.
Let's see, I got married back in 2000. I have some alcohol, so I'm forgetting now.
What are you drinking?
Yeah, what do you? That's the we all got distracted right away. So what are you drinking?
This Korean alcoholic drink called soju.
Oh, I'm no soju.
Mm. Nice. Oh, you do?
Yeah, nice.
All right, so it's great. I'm not a big beer drinker. I didn't even drink alcohol until I was like over 21. I still don't even drink alcohol. I'm drinking for you guys tonight. That's why.
Fantastic. Ah, let's raise a glass to that.
Cheers.
Let's raise a glass.
Cheers.
Hey.
Cheers to that.
Yeah,
cheers.
But no, you know, actually, I did. I think I didn't really ghost her, but there was a girl that I in New Jersey that I asked her out. And she said no, and then I would stop talking to her, and then I think 2 months later she would say hi, and I would talk, but I would ask her out again. She would say no, and then like 2 months later, she actually said yes, and I hung out, and I think I hung out like 3 weeks maybe, and then I had a moment in the car where I told her, and I think she thought we were in a relationship, maybe not, but one of the worst things I've ever said to a girl, I said, you know, I just want you to know that I'm not your boyfriend. And,
usually girls would say that.
My man just dumped Snooki, man. He dumped Snooki.
Yeah, I'm sure karma's going to get me back one day, but,
Well, hold on. How do you think karma's going to get back to you? You're already married, though.
Yeah, no, look, life is a journey. It's not a, you don't get the happily ever after the wedding bells. I mean, they say marriage is not about the day you get married, about all the days afterwards. And amen, anybody man. In a relationship knows, you know, you have your good days, you have your bad days. And, you know, if you end like they do in the movie, The Notebook, then you had a real good life. But look, 50.1% of the American population is divorced. I'm not saying that's not going to happen to me, but it's life.
So
things happen.
So you think everything should be a balance? Is that what you think? Nothing should ever favor on your side, but everything should be a balance?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
Or maybe you have a happy marriage, and then you end up with a terrible, terrible sports team in your home city.
Yeah. Happy marriage, terrible kids. Things happen. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, look at Bruce Jenner. You never know what's going to happen.
Whoa. Hold on. You think is that what you're thinking about, like as a plan B?
No. I'm just saying nobody really knows what life has in store for you.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. I thought you were doing like a 10-year.
That's the next book.
It could go any which way. You're saying there's a big scope in terms of what could happen.
Right, so. Right. Okay. I'm just playing.
Yes, it goes back to that one meme. Have you seen that meme? It's Howard Cosell with O.J. Simpson and Bruce Jenner. And he's like, I'm Howard Cosell. I've just seen the future, and you have no fucking idea what I'm about to tell you. So life's a mystery. You never know.
That's very true. What number are we on right now? Mm-hmm.
You're still on number two.
That was a long number two. Number three. Let's go on number three here.
Number three, I got to go back. You know, you actually did two already. Number three, don't wallow in your self-pity. Basically, don't be a little bitch. A lot of guys are like, you know, my girl dumped me. I don't feel like going out. No one's going to be, I'm never going to meet anybody like her again. And, you know, you just wallow in your self-pity. It's like, just shut up and, you know, you have a life. Do something. If you don't feel like hanging out with your friends, you know, go to the bookstore or something. Get educated. Go study. Just do something. Don't sit at home and feel sorry for yourself, because, you know, life goes on. A lot of there are some 21-year-old guys out there who are probably heartbroken, and you know, I'm gonna be 41, but I can tell that 21-year-old, hey, life goes on. You got like 20 more years before you reach my age. And there's a lot that's going to happen between 21 and 41 if you live that long. So don't think that this is the end. A lot of young people, they feel like this is the end because that's all they've seen up to this point. But, you know, as you get older, you start to realize that there's more. And I think that's why a lot of older people are happier, because they've seen that, you know, life can go down, it can go up, but there's always hope.
Wait, you're 41? Tell us a secret, man. I need to.
Yeah.
Bell over here has a few more years. We need to. He's aging pretty heavily here. We need to help him out here.
In like sand.
I've married well. She's a very supportive wife. She let me write this book, for Christ's sake, and she let me tell these stories online that I hope she never hears.
But, okay. Maybe that's what we need to do, Bell.
I need to find a good woman, eh?
Yeah.
That helps a lot. A woman who takes care of you. The way you look is a reflection of her. So I look fairly young because of her.
Right. Fantastic.
So you're a New Yorker born and raised, right?
Yes.
So, Enrique, what are some of the things that you can do in New York that you just can't do anywhere else? Like, what's your perfect New York day?
Perfect New York date. Man, you know what? I haven't gotten a lot of dates on New York, to tell you the truth. Remember, I was out. I had to fly across the country to see girls. But
did you say day or date?
We can go either way here.
Yeah, literally, I would have to. The AOL player over here. I had a. I spoke to a girl.
I
in
love
Chicago.
That AOL player. AOL player. That's amazing.
That's the title of this episode for sure, man.
Yeah, and a girl in California, and I dated girls in California and Philadelphia and Chicago before actually talking to women in New York. So, as for the perfect date in New York, as a single guy, I can't really tell you what it is. I mean, you know what? I would say, take advantage of all the unique places that New York has to offer. Stay away from Times Square, because you know you just got the Olive Garden and all the and the Jumbo and the Forrest Gump Jumbo Shrimp Company over there. But take her to the unique restaurants. And like the restaurant in New York, there's one that's like a hot dog factory, but you get in by going through a phone booth and it takes you to a speakeasy and stuff like that. And just do your research.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, girls will appreciate a guy who gives them experiences that other guys don't.
What about a comedy club like the Comedy Cellar down there? Would that be a comedy club? Would that be a spot to go?
I probably wouldn't recommend it.
Kind of like a movie, I think, right?
Yeah. You want to go to a place where you can talk. Okay. But you're supposed to know about her before you date her. I picked up in one of the books. See, because I have a bad memory. So I would talk to a lot of girls. And what I would do is that I used Microsoft Excel to chart their birth. This is before Facebook. So I would have their birthday, their nationality, their favorite food. And then I would psychologically try to place them between if they're an audio person, they like music. If they're a visual person, things have to look nice. And if they're a kinesthetic person, you have to take them to a place that's nice and comfortable with comfortable seats and chairs. So I kind of had you get to know their favorite food. So by the time you get to take them out on a date, say, you know, a girl's a science girl, you take her to the Hall of Science in Queens. Then you take her to Thai food because, you know, she likes that.
Oh, I love
and
Thai
right
food.
Yeah. And right away, she starts thinking, I like Asian women, so they fit in the category.
Have you ever been to Thailand?
Yes, I have. It was a life-changing experience.
And have you ever? But, so what was your, whereabouts in Thailand have you gone?
Oh, I went to Bangkok, the most, the biggest tourist destination in the world. And they have beautiful temples.
They also have a lot of Asian women. And you said you're partial to Asian women? So it was.
You're in Asia.
Was this. Yeah, that's a good point. Was this during your married phase or were you single?
Oh, no, no. I was single. I was. Yeah, I was single. So that was my first and probably last trip over there.
Seems like this is in chapter 9, the story.
No. The Thais don't speak much English. The Filipinos do because they remember Philippines was taken over by America, so a lot of Filipinos they speak English. And the Thais they spoke a little English, but you can have a deeper conversation with
through the
people
massages,
from the Philippines,
right? You get a deeper conversation through the massages.
Yeah, you have an hour to get in deep and discuss Stephen Hawking.
Nice. I love it. So, So like, how long were you there for, though?
Where, Thailand?
Yeah.
It was a week.
Oh, whoa.
No, not even a week. Maybe four. No, I think it was a week. Yeah, I was there for like a week.
And like, how was it? Like, can you do everything in a week? Like, you know, normally when, you know, you visit a different country or a city, you just...
Let me see. What did I do in a week? I saw the temples. I saw the riverboat tours. I had a few Thai massages. I got my hair cut and whatnot. And in terms of the nightlife, I met very nice people.
So you went to the temple and then you went to get a massage? Or did you get a massage first and then go to the temple?
I had several massages.
At the temple?
No. The temple is like the day trip.
Gotcha.
And massage is like the night trip.
Did you go to any of the clubs?
Yeah. I was with a good friend, and he took me to one club, and it was I think you call them lady boys, where you know everybody's. Yeah. And he just said, you know, just check out this club. You can, you know, like, you can see what they offer, and it was interesting. You know, you see that the lady boys they dance around. They got the chokers around their neck because it covers up their Adam's apple.
Oh, okay.
And you know, a lot of them were like, you know, you try, you like. And,
oh, no, I don't. Please tell me the story doesn't end the way I think it's going to end.
No. That was the end. He touched my leg. I was like, no, please. And
straight to a ping pong show.
Yeah. That wasn't as entertaining as I thought it would, as I thought it would be. But you know, I like new experiences in terms of just seeing what's there and moving on. And some experience you want to go deeper than others.
Any strip clubs or anything like that? Anything?
Oh yeah. It's let me just try to compare it. If you go to a club in like New York City. It's like a mom and pop store. There's one on this block. There's one on that block. Moving on. When you go to Thailand, it's like a mall. It's Whoa. Like a mall. And yeah, if you haven't been there, have you? Any of you ever been there?
I've never been there.
Me neither.
I've been to Thailand. So, this is Bill.
And
Thailand.
It's like a mall.
Yes, it's amazing.
Yeah, where every store specializes in something. So yeah, so it's just it's sad. It's intriguing, and it's an educational experience.
B, I think we need to go there for the educational experience, man. What do you think?
I think you better read Enrique's book before you guys go down there, though.
So are there certain places that have this stuff, or, like, is it just anywhere? Or is it a known place?
Oh, yeah. There's one called Soy Cowboy. Just look it up. S-O-I Cowboy.
Oh, we've definitely been
there.
That's
their big mall.
See, Soy Cowboy.
Yeah. Okay. He knows what it is. I didn't know what to expect when I went to Thailand, but when I went over there, I was just devastated by the poverty and the desperation of people that I just want to help.
Yeah. It's I think that's kind of the downfall on those types of places. You want to experience what it's like, but at the same time, you just kind of your heart just kind of goes down for a bit and realize, you know. Things that we kind of complain here, we appreciate it, right? So,
yeah, definitely. But they bring out the bug cart at night for snacks, and they got grasshoppers and crickets and spiders and all that you want. And I was talking to one young lady, and she was picking up the grasshopper and munching it and saying, you know why we eat this? I'm like, why? She's like, because, you know, where I'm from in the province, we're very poor, so we don't have a lot of food, so this is what we eat. So I'm like, all right. This is, like I said, educational. People eat grasshoppers when they don't have a lot.
Did you try the grasshoppers?
No, I can't. I'm pretty adventurous with food, but I can't eat insects.
So what's one of the most, I guess, exotic things that you've eaten in your days here?
Oh, when I go to the Philippines with my wife, I always eat the balut, which is the fertilized duck egg. So when you crack it open, you actually got like a baby duck in there.
Oh,
so I've been eating that since I was a kid. And I kind of make a tradition that every time I go back to the Philippines at night, somebody comes around with a bicycle yelling, balut, balut. And, you know, you stop them and say, hey, let me get one. And, you know, you got the egg, and then you crack it, and then you suck out the juice. And then you open it up, and you got the little duck and the little yolk, and you just throw it in your mouth and and swallow and feel like you're home again. So that's one of the...
So it's a swallow and not a bite?
Yeah, my dad says you're not supposed to play with the chicken when you're eating it, which is what I did like the second time when I was younger. Like, you look at the chicken, that makes you not want to eat it. But, you know, you just crack it open, just try to swallow it whole. You know, you bite into it, but you don't look at what you're eating. When you just throw it in your mouth and eat it, it really tastes like you're eating chicken stock, a little piece of chicken, and egg.
Do you think that would be good with some vodka or... Some gin.
Yeah, the drunker you are, the better.
B, do you think you could do it? Could you stomach that, B?
I could do it, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you look like you're about to.
I'd have to be three sheets to the wind before I could get.
Your face is going blue.
Blue, I got that joke there. Yeah.
Three sheets to the wind. I don't even know what that means. But
he's drunk.
Let's go to the next one. What number are we at? Five? We're at number five.
I think you're at number four.
We're at number four here. What's number four?
don't target women who are taken. Look, say you're at the office.
Like Michelle Obama.
Maria. Yes, exactly. You talk to Michelle, and then you ask her to grab lunch. She says, no, I don't eat with people who aren't my husband. You know, you smile and you say, I understand. You know, it was nice talking to you, and, you know, good luck in everything. And that doesn't mean you're going to be a dick to Michelle every time you see her. You're still going to say, hello, how are you? But you're not going to focus on the compliments and try to wine or dine or anything. You move on, because plain and simple, if you don't, you could get your ass kicked by Barack.
But you also want Michelle to tell her friends about you.
Yes.
Get your ass kicked by Barack. Just the whole U.S. Army. That's funny.
But some people, I know a few people who kind of like that chase. Hey, I wanna try to do the impossible. I know you're kind of ruining, you know, maybe relationships.
Yeah.
Or whatnot, but
no
but
respect.
I know
that.
Some people that like to go for the impossible.
No. I can't respect that.
How do you convince someone not to do that and you like stop it?
Like if
you can't. A lot of times if a guy set on someone who's taken, you know, you're not gonna stop them. But you know, you can just tell them, look, dating is complicated enough. Why you wanna start with a girl who's already taken? You know, you can talk to these three other girls over here. Why you gotta stick to her all the time? A lot of guys, like, you know, they limit themselves to say, no, it's gotta be her because, you know, she spoke to me, and a lot of girls don't speak to me, so I think I have a chance with her, even though she's taken. And but you just got to convince them, look, I'll take you out. There are many other girls that you can talk to. You don't just focus on her, you know. Yeah. Don't limit yourself.
Interesting. Don't limit yourself. See that, Bell? Don't limit yourself. Mm-hmm. Because you never know what could happen.
No, he's saying don't limit yourself. And try to go after a taken lady.
Oh.
Go after some single ladies that
are
available. Why focus on one person where you're going to do, even if you win and you get the girl, you're going to do some harm to someone else, right?
Yeah,
we talked about
single,
karma earlier, right?
But they're single for a reason.
Well, they're not single. That's the whole point. You made them single.
No, they're single
because you
themselves.
Read Enrique's book, and now you use all these techniques for evil. Use your powers for good.
Rike, like,
good.
Do you ever think of like some girls you just go,
did
you know?
Say
what?
Rike?
No. Do you ever think of some?
No, you did.
No, I didn't.
You can't just shorten his name like that.
He's got nicknames and shit.
I
like
can nickname
we've been talking. We've had some drinks together, right?
He asked him a couple of questions. You're on.
I know him very well. We're at number five.
You're
man.
On tip number five. Hey, Rike.
I'm at number five. I can. Is that okay? That's okay. Like,
yo, E-Money, could you quickly hit us with number five?
Yes. Number five is don't settle for less. A lot of times, you know, you're with one girl and you think she wants to marry you. And a lot of times you're like, you know what? I think this is it. You know, she's a nice girl. Let me just marry her and call it a life. And, you know,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's
crazy. But if you're not crazy over her, then don't do it. I mean, you know, it goes back to not limiting yourself. You got to think that you deserve the best, basically. And the girl you fall in love with and the girl you marry should be one that you're happy with and you've made a commitment, you know, a lifelong commitment, and you're not settling. You aimed high, you hit high, and now you're going to ride off into the sunset. Don't just say, okay, she'll do. And then, you know, 10 years later, you meet somebody else. You're like, you know what? I think I made a mistake. Just, marry your number one and move on. Don't, if there's any doubts, don't do it.
As an unattractive man, how do you know? Like, what if you think this is, this could be it only? This could be the
last
one.
Yeah, I can't even answer. How do you know? I know how you know. You're supposed to know who you want beforehand. There's this book called Love Tactics Part 2. I never read Part 1. But Part 2 says, list your ideal woman. And it has like all the categories, like what she thinks about pets, what she thinks about family, what she thinks about kids, what she thinks about politics, how many kids she wants, her career, on and on and on. And once you got that list of everything you want in a woman, I guess if she fits 80% of that list, then you go for it. But if there's something major holding you back, then you don't go for it. I mean, if I said it's easy, then divorce rate wouldn't be 50%. But, you know, my family always told me that marriage is a gamble. You never know what's going to happen. But if you got a good gut feeling and she's a good woman, and, you know, they say you don't marry the one you can live with, you marry the one you can't live without. Whoa. You can't live without her, then go ahead and marry her if you're at that age and that state.
Some real tips in this interview. Some
that one touched
hard-hitting, heart-wrenching tips.
So what was the thing about your wife that you couldn't live without?
So I met her in the Philippines. And one of the first things I noticed when I was talking to her, I was like, hey, you speak English well. And she said, I think she said merci. And I was like, oh, you speak French too. And, you know, we started talking and I said, you know, I got 2 tickets to this concert. Do you want to go on Thursday? And she's like, are you serious? Like, yeah, I was actually looking for a girl to go with. And she was like, no, I can't go. And I said, can I have your number anyway? You seem like a nice girl. I don't mind hanging out with you. And she's like, yeah, sure, why not? And we hung out, and I was talking to other girls that when I saw her, I didn't even recognize her, who she was again. But she had these pigtails, and she had the nerdy glasses, and like kind of like a female Clark Kent. And I called her to make sure it was her. And we hung out, and there was one of the reasons men meet women, people hook up on vacations, is because people have their guards down. They feel like they're leaving. They have nothing to lose. So why don't they just be themselves? So I took that philosophy to heart. I was like, do you cook? She's like, yeah. And I was like, do you clean? She's like, yeah. I don't let my brothers go into the bedroom with their shoes on. And I said, how many kids do you want? She said, 3. And I was like, great. And she said, I have cousins in New York. No, I have relatives in New York. I said, what part of New York? She said, Queens. I was like, oh, I live in Queens. And she said, I have a cousin in Canada. And I was like, what part of Canada? And she said, Toronto. And I said, oh my God, I have cousins in Toronto. So she was just fulfilling the checklist. She was beautiful. She cooked. She cleaned. She had relatives where I had relatives. And she had a good heart and 2 parents. And that was a Monday. And on Tuesday, she was my girlfriend. On Wednesday, I met her mom. And Thursday, I said, I love you. And Friday, I met her dad. And Saturday, I proposed. And here we are 15 years later, married with 3 kids.
Wow.
Yeah, I got lucky.
It's just like that. It just happens just automatically.
It just went through 5 days, and I felt like she was the one. I was, I think I was 27 at the time, and she was, no, she was 23, I was 26, and we got married. I was 27, and she was 24. But like two young people in love, we discovered that it's not easy. You know, the fairy tale is nice, but, you know, marriage is it's a constant every day. You got to find a reason to love each other. And true love isn't being with each other, you know, when times are great. True love is sticking with each other when times aren't that great. And she's stuck by me and I've stuck by her. And I can only wish that this continues for another 50 years.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, and more to come, man. That's fantastic. That's
thank
great.
You.
What? So just to recap, like, where can everyone get this book? Do you have like a website or any social media so we can kind of tag you in?
Man, my website is EnriqueVoltaire.com. Social media, the best place to get me on social media, it's on Quora, which is Quora.com. Have you guys heard of Quora?
I've heard of Quora, yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be my medium of choice. I mean, people ask questions there all the time, and I just answer it. So if you want to hit me up on Quora, ask me any question about girls, I'll be sure to get back on you.
Fantastic. But before you go, we always, with our guests, we always give some gauntlet questions by Bell.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I hope you're ready for this.
Yeah, I think I'm ready. I hope.
Fantastic. Bell?
Let's get into it.
There is no hope. They're too tough.
What's one of your pet peeves, Enrique?
Pet peeves, something I hate. Oh, there was this one girl I saw that she was a beautiful girl, but I saw hair in her belly button, and it looked like a spider coming out. And turned me off for life. I know it seems pretty shallow, and maybe I do seem shallow, but I guess hair on the belly buttons. I'll take hair on the armpit, but hair on the belly button, that's, I guess if you can call it a pet peeve, that's what it is.
So long, Spider-Woman.
Your loss is my game.
So long, Spider-Woman.
What's your favorite curse word?
Fuck. You can use it in so many ways. That's the first word that came to mind.
If you were stuck in a TV show for a month, what show would you hope you were stuck in?
Oh, Naked and Afraid. But hopefully there would be animals to eat. But, I mean, it's probably not the best TV show to be stuck in for a month. You're stuck for 21 days, Naked and Afraid. So,
a lot of mosquito
bites. Geez, that's the, you know what? What's that Teal Tequila show from MTV?
Oh, I forgot what it was called.
I forgot. It's not Rock of Love. It's something
love,
else.
Love with love fell in. I don't know what it is. Love with Tequila.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, that, something like that.
Rock of whatever. That Teal Tequila show. The dating show. Where she gets to choose if she's going to fall in love with a man or a woman. Oh, I can do that show.
Classic television right there. Classic.
Yeah.
Oh, last one here. Let's go. Would you rather be the president of a random country or a reality TV star on a random TV show?
Oh, I'm lazy, so I'll be the reality TV star on a random on a random TV show because I don't want the responsibility of messing with another country.
You're just trying to double up and maybe get on the tequila show again in a different way, eh?
No, I wouldn't. I'm married.
A shot at love with Tila Tequila is what it was.
There you go.
Shot at love. Fantastic. Hey, my man,
TV.
Thank you for being on the podcast. We definitely had a great time today. You know, more than welcome to come back anytime. Talk about maybe some playoffs, talk some Knicks, maybe some more stories about dating. We love it. Thank you again. And, man, we hope you have a great night.
I really appreciate it about being Nick. Thank you very much. And good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Great, man. Thanks.
Take
for
care.
On.
Bye-bye.
Cut the lights and kill the mics. This episode of Thirst World Problems is over. Once again, we want to thank you all for your support. Please vote for us on the Road Podcast Contest. Link is in the description. It's time for one for the road.
So I grew up wrestling, and then, I was a big defensive football player of the year. You know, I was a real good athlete, and I got a black belt. And I got in a fight with a black belt in eighth grade.
Where was this?
And this is in Flushing, Michigan, where I grew up.
Michigan, okay.
In junior high, I got in a fight with this black belt. Some kid in my grade owned a dojo, the Beatties. And so every other kid in junior high was a black belt in karate, man. It was crazy. So I get in a fight with this black belt. He give me a big black eye, and I could have easily whooped his ass. It was way tougher than any of those kids, right? Mm-hmm. But I tried to strike it out. I tried to use my hands with him. And, you know, I was a big-time wrestler. Like I said, I could have shot in on him, took him down, and grind him out, you know, like I did everybody else. But for whatever reason that day, I believe in my height, but out with this black belt, and give me a big black eye. And then after that, I was like, shit, I need to learn how to fight, man. So my dad always wanted me to be a boxer. The reason why I was born is because Muhammad Ali, he had three girls and then had a boy. And my dad had three girls, and at that time, he's like, fuck it, man. I had a boy, right? So then 4 years after they stopped having kids, my dad saw Ali had a boy, you know, after three girls. And he said to my mom, he said, hey, man, why don't we try having a boy? And, you know, Ali beat the odds, and so they had me. Fast forward 19 years, guess who's sitting ringside at the Hoosier Dome watching me win a national title?
No way.
Huh?
Muhammad Ali was at one of your fights? Wow.
What year was
ringside, when I won a national title, it was the only belt you could win in amateur boxing, the International Black Expo.
Wow.
And, you know, for us boxers, we just called it the Nationals.
Wow.
That's the very tournament I won. Anyway, so after that, you know, I got beat up in eighth grade gym class, and that was like it was probably the biggest event of my life, man. I had a choice to yeah, I had a big mouth, man. I always had a big mouth. I had a choice: either learn to keep my mouth shut or learn to fight. So I chose the latter. And it worked out pretty good for me.
Thanks for listening to the Thirst World Problems Podcast. For more exclusive content, follow us on Instagram @ThirstWorldPod. Make sure to subscribe, like, and share.